Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Don't miss out on your chance to listen to 4-time Super Bowl champ Charlie Weiss on the only podcast solely devoted to everyone's favorite position in football, the quarterback. Listen for free now by subscribing wherever you get podcasts or by going to celebrityqb.com.
Kike. Kike Hernandez was the story tonight as the Dodgers go on to the World Series. And we had a hell of a Thursday night football game on our hands with the Raiders and Chiefs. So, Fantasy Throwdown coming up next. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Fantasy Throwdown podcast. I'm your host, Dwayne Callender. Quite a bit to talk about here, and so get right to it. The Dodgers close out the Cubs in Game 5 in dominating fashion. Kike Hernandez literally stole the show. First pitch fastball for a home run off of Jose Quintana, and that was pretty much the end of the game. Literally, the Dodgers jumped on the Cubs early and pounded them. Ended up finishing the game 11-1, but it was over by the second inning. I mean, they were, once Kike Hernandez hit that grand slam to put them up 7-0, I mean, the entire air out of Wrigley just left completely. There was you could have called a mortician there. I mean, the place was dead, and, you know, I think even the Cubs kind of felt it coming too. With Kershaw on the mound, with that big of a lead, I mean, he could do whatever he wanted at the plate, pretty much. And Kershaw went after him, and that was pretty much the story there. But, I mean, you know, credit to the Dodgers. I mean, they made it look easy, even though, you know, I still think the Cubs were a formidable test, and, even though some folks were lamenting the fact that the Nationals couldn't get the job done in the divisional series, I still think the way the Dodgers played, it would have made a difference if the Nationals had come up with Scherzer and Strasburg. I still think the Dodgers would have won the series quickly the way they did based off of how well they've been pitching and hitting. So, you know, in terms of takeaways, Kike Hernandez had 11 home runs in 2017 and only 20 in his career and hit 3 bombs. So, I mean, that's just the nature of baseball sometimes. It's just your night, and, you know, for the Dodgers, it was their time. So, yeah, you know, the Cubs had a good year overall. I mean, you know, if you're a Cubs fan, if you were told 2 years ago that you'd win the World Series and you'd make a run in the NLCS the following year, you'd sign up for that any day of the week. I mean, the Cubs could fall into irrelevancy for the next 10 years, and it would still not mitigate what was accomplished in 2016. So, you know, I still think the Cubs have ways of kind of retooling for next year and getting right back to it. So, I don't think this is really much of a downfall, if anything. It's just more reaffirmation of areas they have to clean up, namely rebolstering the starting rotation, just because they're getting on the older side. And Arrieta's going to be a free agent. They're not going to want to pay him the money he's looking for, and he's going to get some offers regardless, just because teams are so pitching deprived. So that's going to be a development to look out for in the offseason. But as it stands, the Dodgers moving on to face either the Yankees or the Astros. And regardless of which team makes it, I still think the Dodgers would be the favorite at this stage of the game because of how quickly they've gotten through their series. Bullpen well-rested. The lineup's playing well. And, you know, they did it without Corey Seager in the NLCS. That's how dominant they were offensively. Corey Seager wasn't even involved in Culberson and what's his name? Chris Taylor. The Taylor had some big hits in the series. I mean, overall, the Dodgers hadn't missed a beat with losing Seager, so they got him healthy for the World Series, rested his back. So that's just going to be another weapon that they've added to the roster. So, you know, we'll see how it goes once the World Series gets set. So moving on, we've got a must-win game for the Astros, down 3-2 after getting swept by the Yankees in the Bronx. Verlander's on the mound, trying to keep the Astros in it. This is what they brought him in for these moments. So, you know, I think overall the Yankees are still in a very good spot in terms of how they've been able to get good pitching. So they've been able to keep guys rested, and by jumping on Keiko when they did, they were able to buy up some real estate where in Tanaka, who was brilliant, by the way, just could navigate the lineup and keep the bullpen fresh. So really, the Yankees have a full arsenal of pitchers available, and with Severino on the mound, you know, he's going to be throwing bullets. You know, the Astros now in the last couple of games have started to not be locked in, so we'll see if that changes tonight by being energized by the home crowd. But they were not locked in the Bronx, so that has been the difference. They've been striking out more at a higher clip and not making solid contact. So that's a good sign for the Yankees. We'll see if the trend can continue tonight and they can actually pull off the upset here. Because, again, coming into the series, I don't think many people actually expected the Yankees would be in this spot at this stage. I know MLB was hoping for a potential for a Dodgers-Yankees World Series, but I think in realistic terms, I don't think people were expecting it to be a remote possibility outside of Yankee homers. So that's what we got on the baseball side. NFL, incredible Thursday night football game between the Raiders and Chiefs. A lot to talk about here. You had the weird interaction where Marshawn Lynch managed to get himself ejected for a play he wasn't even involved in. Basically, the Raiders ran a busted route where David Carr is scrambling. He gets tackled by the Chiefs, then gets popped after the whistle, which didn't get flagged, which, you know, I didn't quite get it until afterwards. Then the refs decided to throw a flag because a melee almost broke out. So Marcus Peters hits Carr late. Marcus Peters and Marshawn Lynch are very close to each other. Marshawn Lynch sees that the Raiders offensive line is surrounding Peters, runs out into the field. Chiefs players are also involved. There's a lot of pushing and shoving. Marshawn tries to get himself in the middle of it, ends up getting his hands on a referee, and instead of letting the referee go, actually shoves the referee. So obviously, ref threw the flag, and Marshawn was ejected from the game. Like I said, on a play that he wasn't even involved in. So you got to see where the league comes down on that, because that's probably going to end it, earn him an additional suspension because he wasn't involved in the play at all. if he was involved in the play, you still can't put your hands on the referee. You're going to get ejected. So he was facing a fine anyway, but because he wasn't involved in the game and still got himself involved and touched the referee, you know, I'm not sure the league's going to give him any extenuating circumstances on that predicament because they don't want to set a precedent. So Lynch could be looking at a suspension looming for his actions. You know, obviously emotions got the better of him and you're trying to protect someone that you're close to, but you know, you got to be professional at the same time. So Lynch cost the Raiders there because they got a 15-yard penalty and didn't score on a drive. So a couple of things that came out of this, you know, outside of me, again, lamenting that I picked Marshawn Lynch one pick ahead of Kareem Hunt in the fifth round of a draft and forget league back in August for pre-drafts. But besides all that, you've got the Raiders offense, which was pretty much dormant for an entire month. Yes, Carr was hurt, but they were struggling even before Carr got hurt. Amari Cooper was the biggest bust that you could have had in the first two rounds of a draft. I know people point to David Johnson. I mean, yes, injuries happen, but when you have a prolonged inability to score like Cooper did, that's almost worse because at least if a guy's hurt, you can try to mitigate that because you know you're either going to stash him or drop him. In the case of Cooper, I mean, he's just been so bad that, you know, there was little reason to start him other than you're just praying that he does something. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. Is like you're praying that he does something because, and you're hoping that, you know, he can do better than some of the bench options at wide receiver. You know, Cooper had 50 yards. I think the stat was in the last four games he had 50 yards, either 50 yards or 51 yards. And tonight he had 11 catches, 210 yards, and two touchdowns. I mean, that's all you can really say about that. I mean, he had a mammoth game in a lot of formats. He was half PPR. He was, I believe it was over 38 points. Full PPR. He was well over 40. You know, just a monster game out of Cooper. And it's what you were looking for as a fantasy owner. It's just that, you know, I'm not sure how many people actually repaid the faith in Cooper because at this point, you know, he was a possible drop candidate if he couldn't get things going. And I don't mean that trivially. I mean, I'm looking at it and saying, if you had other wide receivers and you had bye weeks coming up, he would have been a guy that you were only holding on to maybe try to make a trade for 25 cents on the dollar. So, Cooper shows signs of life there. Crabtree was quiet for most of the night. Crabtree had an interesting sequence at the end of the game because for those of you who did not see the game, Raiders were down 30-24. In the closing sequence, the Raiders had made the comeback in the fourth quarter. They were down 30-21. They got the field goal, and so in the minute and a half of the game, they had to make a 85-yard drive. And the closing sequence involved Jared Cook making a catch, initially ruled a touchdown. He was actually down at the half-yard line, so. First play after that, the Raiders run the fade to Crabtree, catches the ball for a touchdown, gets called for pass interference, which was pretty obvious. He extended the arms. Then you had the Chiefs rather get called for defensive holding two times in a row. First time on Jared Cook, which you know it was bad. You got to call it. Second time, you know. More dubious, but you can make the case of for the call for holding on Seth Roberts. So the Raiders end up getting a second on time down to try to win the game on. And then they go back to Crabtree, who pushes off again, and the refs don't call it. So Crabtree gets the game-winning touchdown catch. So it salvaged his night because he... he only ended up with three catches and was just under 30 yards for tonight. So if you're a Crabtree owner, you were annoyed because, you know, you're thinking you're in the clear with Cooper struggling so much, and then Cooper goes off, and then Crabtree is nowhere to be found in the offense. So we'll see if the Raiders balance out the offense in the next coming weeks now that Cooper's back on track. But, you know, big win for the Raiders. They needed it because they were going to have a lengthy road trip, and a loss would have put them at 2-5 in the division. You know, I think that pretty much would have been the death knell for their playoff hopes going on the extended road trip. Because I think their upcoming schedule has them going against the Bills in about a week. But yeah, in terms of the AFC West, you know, Denver lost to the Giants, obviously, on Sunday, so they were 3-2. Chargers 2-4. Chiefs were 5-2. I mean, the Chiefs went 6-1, and the Raiders were still at 2-5. I mean, I would have called the division at that point because Denver's not, unless there's an injury to KC, Denver was not going to be remotely in the mix of chasing down KC if they were at 6-1. So KC is still in a very good spot to win the top seed in the AFC. It's just got to be a little bit trickier now navigating, but, you know, so it goes. Over in the hockey world, the Rangers lost again in a shootout. Usually I don't try to panic about hockey this early in the season because it's a long stretch of games and injuries happen, but the Rangers are as bad as you can imagine at this stage. You know, for as weak as parts of the second half they looked, all the same bad tendencies are coming out again. Lack of energy, lack of focus, not getting off to good starts. They're just not prepared to play games right now. And, you know, Alain Vigneault is going to start facing some tough questions on this because outside of Zibanejad, I can't see anyone who's having a relatively good start to the year offensively for the Rangers. And defensively, the team's a complete mess. You know, the pairings have not worked nearly as well as they should have. And considering you had Dan Girardi last year struggling mightily to keep up with everyone on the ice, it's still not as bad as what we've seen from the miscues early on in the season from the Rangers. So just a lot that needs to get cleaned up and fast by Alain Vigneault if he's contemplating coming back to this team next year. So that's the NHL initial review for the Rangers. I'll get into the hockey preview later on because, like I said, I try to give at least a month or so before I go deep into hockey just because of how teams can change on a dime in terms of the preseason versus regular season transition process for the various line pairings. And in terms of the NBA, the Thunder had their home opener. Lots of ball distribution from Russell Westbrook's side when he was on the court with Paul George and Carmelo. Melo was getting the bulk of the shots. You know, not that surprised by it. I always figured with that pairing, the person most likely to concede on their offensive game is Paul George just because he can create his own shot. You know, Melo really does need at this stage of his career because he's, yes, he can ISO up on guys, but he needs help generating a clean shot look. So I felt Melo was going to get a decent amount of touches with Westbrook drawing multiple double teams. So just something to keep an eye out for from a fantasy perspective. But in terms of the actual game itself, the Thunder easily beat the Knicks. I mean, if there was any doubt that that was going to happen, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. The Knicks have Porzingis, and that's it. I mean, there's the Knicks are going to lose a lot of games. And the reason why I led off this with saying that it was the Thunder home opener because this Knicks season, honestly, you might as well put it in a time capsule because, you know, you're going to want to forget about it. The only thing I could say is you hope Porzingis plays well enough and he wants to actually stay in New York to be the guy. That's all I can say about that. It is what it is. The Knicks aren't going to be good, but, you know, no one was expecting them to be good. On the other side of the mat, of the U.S., you had the Lakers open up against the Clippers. Lonzo Ball made his debut. Wasn't a great performance. Didn't really shoot the ball well. LeVar Ball, of course, made himself part of the story where he's questioning who Patrick Beverley is. Patrick Beverley is the guy who shut down Lonzo shooting-wise. And Beverley at the game said it as much as that, you know, for Lonzo, he's just going to have to kind of keep his head on a swivel because guys are going to be going after him. I mean, it's going to be the case. I mean, Lonzo didn't have a good shooting night. He was only 1 of 6, 3 points because he hit a three-pointer. A couple rebounds, a couple of assists. I mean, nothing to write home about. It is what it is with Lonzo. He's going to have his peaks and valleys as a rookie. It's just his dad keeps talking, and, you know, he never shuts up. But that's how the Ball family operates. LeVar makes outlandish statements, and Lonzo has to be stuck in a position where he has to back up the comments. So, it's way too early to start making judgments on his shot or his ability to score. We'll see how his game develops from there. But, in terms of a debut, it was nothing. But then LeVar still somehow managed to worm his way onto SportsCenter that night with Stephen A. Smith. So take it with a grain of salt. That's all you can do. Anyway, that's all the time I have for now. We'll see how the Yankees game goes tonight. You know, hopefully they pull it out, but, you know, it's still a talented Houston squad, so I expect them to come out swinging early tonight. So that's all for now, and have a good day, everyone.
Most talked about position in all of sports, the quarterback. And now there's a show solely dedicated to the most sought after role on the field, Celebrity QB, featuring 4-time Super Bowl champion coach Charlie Weiss. Unlike other football shows, you'll get the inside scoop on all things quarterbacks. Like, is this the year Tom Brady finally looks his age? Will dating Danica Patrick distract Aaron Rodgers?
I mean, he's dating Danica Patrick, Charlie. We're interested in that, you know?
Well, I mean, Tommy's got Giselle. I'll take Giselle, okay?
Is Dak Prescott good enough to win a Super Bowl for the Cowboys? Which rookie quarterback has the best shot of making a positive impact in 2018?
How about intellectually, Charlie, as far as what they ask the quarterbacks to do now?
The game has changed, but the pressure that's put on quarterbacks, and it always been put on quarterbacks, is tremendous.
Join Charlie Weiss and co-host Steve Strout on an all-new podcast from Lasting Media, exclusively about quarterbacks. Subscribe now at Apple iTunes or wherever you listen to great podcasts. Celebrity QB, everyone's favorite position.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.